This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
It is that time, everybody, here with Wyman and Bob. Time for our player spotlight. Joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, a member of this Seahawks offensive line, Damian Lewis, is with us. Damian, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
We're doing really well. We appreciate you taking time, as you always do. Just want to get your thoughts before we get into the game coming up this weekend. Just individually, we talked to you before the season started, and you were making the switch from one side of the line to the other. And at the time, I remember we were asking, how big of a deal is that? Is it going to be trouble? Is it going to be a problem? And you felt like, nah, it's football is football. Now that you've got 10 games under your belt, how tough has that transition been?
It's been a normal switch, just learning from the right and pushing to the left. It's just a thing, you just got to work for, that I work for and I train, and, the guys around me, they push me, and, just got me right. So, it was a great learning process, but now it's like the natural now.
Hey, Damian, tell us about, we talked to Dwayne Brown last week, and I've been hearing, this week about his leadership and, playing with that guy on the line. It's got to be nice to have a guy with a veteran experience like him. What's he meant to you?
Yeah, Dwayne, he meant a lot to me, just watching him, just watching his style of play and just watching him around the building, how he carries himself. He's a pro at everything, He's tier one, so, just learning from the best, just make me better. So it's just playing beside him. I'm happy and hype about it. When Coach told me that I was going to left guard, I really kind of excited because, playing beside one of the greats, Pro Bowler and All Pro, there's a lot, for me to learn from him. So, I'm glad that I'm playing beside him and he can, teach me a lot. And I'm learning a lot. Every day I learn from him. So, he's a great mentor, and he lead the room, and he's a great leader for the Seahawks.
Hey, Damian, how would you – now you've, as I said, you got 10 games under your belt this season, and you go back, you watch film every single week, obviously, in your position group meetings. How do you feel like your season individually has gone?
Individual, it's things that I need to get better at, every week. I prepare myself, if I made a mistake from the past game, I try, to fix it for the next game. So, learn from my mistake. But I feel like overall, I'm just doing me, still learning every day and, trying to put my best, on toward the field.
Hey, Damian, we hear from Pete Carroll and talks about getting the running game going and getting into a rhythm. Is that, and I know for a running back, that's really important. Same thing for you guys. I mean, do you kind of establish that early on, and do you feel like it gets better as the game goes on when you're committed to the run game?
Yeah, most offensive linemen love to run the ball. So, like you said, with the running backs, too, they want to run the ball. But I think most offensive linemen love to run the ball, pound on them guys, and, so we can foul the ball and tear on them. So, that's, the Seahawks will run in the pass. But other than that, I think most offensive linemen love to run the ball.
Hey, I read a story yesterday that talked about, Dwayne Brown and it was Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson sort of stepping up in front of the team and having a conversation with the team in light of everything that's been going on. How did that go? When you walked out of there, did it feel like, all right, we're on the same page. We're ready to go now.
Yeah, of course, your leaders step up. When things ain't going right, your leaders, when it ain't going right or wrong, so, your leaders step up and, everybody come together and pay attention, do something so we can turn the thing around. So I feel like, everybody aware of what's going on and they woke and, we still got a long season, 7 games and, anything possible. So, just keep pushing and keep looking up and having faith.
Hey, Damian, looks like the Washington football team's got some big first-round guys inside. It's a tough defensive line. I know they have some injuries on the edge, but what are you seeing out of those guys? Sounds like they got some what you'd call war daddies, I guess, inside, definitely with guys like Darren Payne.
Yeah,
somebody's telling that.
Yeah, they got a great, you know, they got a great group of guys, you know, great frat, you know, Allen, Payne, and I believe the two defensive end. Yeah, they got a great group, but, you know, it's never about them, it's about us, though.
Okay.
Hey, so what? Obviously, you're preparing for the game coming up Monday night, but we got Thanksgiving going on. So, how does that work? You get Thanksgiving night off, and if so, do you? Who do you spend it with?
Yeah, I'm gonna spend my Thanksgiving this year with myself. Probably throw me some, not no Thanksgiving food. I'll probably put some on the grill, some barbecue.
Okay, so no like turkey, gravy, mashed potatoes, none of that, huh?
No, sir, not this year. I'm gonna just do some barbecue. Put a slab on the barbecue grill.
Okay. The old linemen don't get together. You don't have nobody goes to one guy's house or anything like that. Everybody just kind of spreads out.
Yeah, Gabe Jackson got a thing going at his house. He invited everybody. I'll probably go to give me like 10 plates. Bring it back home. Other than that, I'm throw them slabs on the barbecue grill.
10 plates, huh?
Yeah, you just
give me about 10.
Yeah, get in there, get your 10 plates, and go home, huh? Bring some Tupperware.
Yeah. Right.
Do you have a favorite? Is outside of turkey? Obviously, everybody likes turkey. But what's your favorite Thanksgiving? Is it desserts? Is it potatoes? Is it vegetables? What is it?
I give you two. The ham, the smoked ham with the honey, and I'm going to go with the cream pie, the cream cheese pie.
Cream cheese pie. Huh. I don't know if I've had that.
Yeah,
it's good.
You probably like Southern food, right? Are you able to get Southern food out here?
Not really. You know, most people out here don't, you know, have their Southern hospitality, but, you know. I'm definitely a Southern guy, you know. Soul food, green beans, black eyed peas, fried chicken, you know, some other.
There's got to be some places out here. I've heard of some restaurants out here that specialize in that. So I guess maybe it's just
if you find one, let me know.
Well, we're putting the word out. The 12s are listening right now, and I guarantee you, Damien, we are going to get people texting in suggestions. Tell them to go here. Tell them to go here. So are you on Twitter? Are you a social media guy?
Yeah, I got a Twitter and Instagram. The real _ Damien Lewis. Y'all just tap in and let me know.
Okay.
We'll put the 12s up to this.
Yeah, you'll probably get a whole bunch of messages of, you know, a bunch of suggestions. So we'll make sure people have your Twitter handle and send you suggestions where to get some good food.
So the real _ Damien Lewis.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get it done. Now, Damien, do you have to worry? Do they make you weigh in? When I played, you had to weigh in. You had to wait. And I remember you would get fined like $50 a pound if you were over. Do you guys have a especially back in 1980 and $90? That was a lot of money.
That's why Dave was always so skinny when he played.
Yeah, but I mean,
I believe they went up on that now, though, didn't it?
Yeah,
they went up on that.
I bet they did.
It was a couple hundred now.
Is that what it is?
Overweight, it was a couple hundred.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, do you have an assigned weight?
Oh, yeah. I try to stay low, you know, in my weight around 318. Try not to go over 320, 323.
Can you feel the difference?
You know, the routine that I do. Say that again.
Can you feel the difference from if you're 318 or 322 or whatever? Is it you can tell right at that point?
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, your back and stuff start burning. You get tired. Your legs burning. Mm. Like, you know that you pick up some weight.
Okay.
So it's time to cut back.
All right.
But you don't get any fines or anything for that?
Yeah. If you come too heavy, the coach is going to fine you.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, we'll still get you the food suggestions here from the listeners, but yeah, as long as it doesn't put you over into getting fine territory, we'll make sure that's not the case.
Yeah.
Hey, Damien.
Yeah,
I'll
probably still sneak and get sound, though.
Hey, we really appreciate you taking time. As always, obviously, best of luck in the game coming up Monday night, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yes, sir. Same to you.
There you go. There's Damien Lewis in our player spotlight. So, initially said he's just going to be hanging out solo on Thanksgiving, and then talked about, who do you say, Gabe Jackson having a little get-together. He said, I'd probably go there and get 10 plates and then come back and throw a slab on the barbecue. Oh, in addition to the 10 plates.
Yeah.
Wow. I can put it away.
I know, and he better not get to 322 or he'll fill it.
Yeah. It didn't sound like they've got any kind of fine system or anything like they had when you were playing. He well, said they did, but he didn't have anything specific like, oh, so you get fined if you reach that? And
maybe it doesn't even, like, matter to those guys.
Not O-linemen probably.
You know what's
right?
funny? Well, I'm just thinking of, like, maybe it's $200 a pound. I don't know. How much do you think it would have gone up by? It was $50 a pound. And I have to say,
in the 80s, it was $50 a pound?
Yeah. And really what the thing about it, for me anyway, was that I was never late in the NFL. And I think I went over my weight like once, and Chuck announced it to everybody. So it was kind of embarrassing, you know. And then you could go to Chuck and go, "Hey, Chuck, I need 2 pounds, man. I was 2'4". And like he would assign these weights. It was so weird.
Were they just random, or was he getting it from the trainer?
Seemingly random, because he'd be like, "I want you at 247." I'm like, "Why 247?" But anyway, you know, I'd go, "Hey, Coach, you know, I need a couple pounds. Can I get 250? You know, and it wasn't, you know, if you're over for, you know, 3 pounds, it's $150. It wasn't so much that. It was just that whenever anybody got fined or anybody got in trouble, we had a guy who snuck a girl into his room, and he got fined for that. And Chuck brought it up in front of the whole team, and it came along with this. And I know you're a married guy, so I don't really want that to get out either. So I am going to fine you." So the whole room knew. He said who the guy was.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, like, Chuck, and that stayed in that room. Like, at least I hope it did. But, Chuck would call you out. He would call you out. But for him, I just thought it was funny that he can feel the difference between 318 and 324.
Yeah, he starts feeling the pain in his back and all that. Yeah, I guess there's just a breaking point. by the way, I'm looking at his Twitter page. Wasn't he saying the real Damian Lewis or something like that? Was the Twitter handle?
I think that's what he said.
That's not what I'm seeing.
What are you saying?
Just Damian Lewis 72.
Well, he's not number 72. Or was he?
Maybe that was his college number, but it's verified. He's got the check mark. Yeah.
But have his dogs. I think he has a couple. Bulldogs.
One picture of him blocking, and then some other. I'm not sure what this background picture is, but anyway, looks like Damian Lewis 72 is what his Twitter handle is, because we got people texting in suggestions. Right, he was talking about finding the right kind of soul food out there. Can't find it out here, and we knew people would jump in. Somebody saying Southern Kitchen in Tacoma, Jackson's Catfish Corner,
St. Hooligan's Best Fried Chicken Ballard.
Best fried chicken in the world near Ballard. Yeah, I guess. If you've got those suggestions, you can hit him on his Twitter page. It looks like it's at Damian Lewis 72.
Yeah, not the actor, by the way. That's the guy from Band of Brothers. And
in Homeland.
Yeah, Homeland.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. It's pretty easy to distinguish between those two. He's a redheaded, very pale fella. Who's probably decidedly
English guy.
Probably 200 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
So pretty easy to distinguish. But if you're on Twitter, go ahead and send your suggestions to Damian as far as where he can find that food that he's looking for. Meanwhile, how does this Seahawks offense get a spark going? Or at least, take advantage of what this defense for the Washington football team doesn't do well, which is most things, Dave, except the run. I'm not sure if they're going to, bang their head against the wall and really try to establish it. But Matt Hasselbeck, who's on every week on the morning show, I think was on with Bump and Lefko this morning, had some thoughts on it and says, the Seahawks need to show new looks on offense.
Yeah, no, I agree with what Russell was saying there. I think they look like a much better team when they go no huddle or up tempo. And no huddle doesn't have to be hurry. Like, it can be no huddle, no hurry. Like, it can be also be that. But I agree. And yeah, there's the fear. There's the fear of a quick three and out or something like that. But, I would argue the way that this offense has been moving at times has been a very quick four and out, three and out, like the way you're doing it.
You know what's funny to me? The no huddle, no hurry. That doesn't make sense to me. What's the advantage?
Is it keeping the defense from substituting because you think, well, they could snap this at any moment. They're already lined up and ready to go.
Well, you should be, if they're not running guys off, then you're not running guys off. So if you have the right personnel out there,
if somebody's tired or something, but they're not allowed to, I don't know. That was my only thought. If the drive had been going and you go no huddle and somebody's gassed and they're trying to get somebody in perhaps, but you're already up at the line.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see what makes sense, because to me it was always a mystery of like they're in the huddle and you're a lot of times, and this is before we had things in our ear. You know, I'm sure Bobby's getting what the personnel is, but you know, I had to look, and lots of times I had my back to the offense because I'm calling the huddle. So, and then, you know, when they break out of the huddle, it's like where guys would go. And I know when guys would break the huddle, a lot of times they'd, you know, go one way and then sprint the other and try to confuse you. But if it's no huddle, no hurry, you're showing what you're lining up in. And everybody's just using hand signals. So that's kind of interesting. I'd be curious to hear Matt explain that. Matt explains, or as Rabel would call him, Matthew. He explains the game so well.
Yeah, he's really good. He had another thought, and just in terms of how he views this offense right now, he calls it a hope and a prayer offense right now.
It's more like a hope and a prayer, you know, or it's like, hey, quarterback will scramble around and maybe Tyler Lockett will break free on a second move, and that's where we're getting our big plays. There needs to be more layups for me. There need to be more completions. Yeah. There need to be less sacks, certainly less sack fumbles. It's just, you know, like, I don't think it's that far away from clicking, but right now it's not clicking.
Yeah, he's not wrong about that, where it's like, hey, quarterback, go scramble around and hopefully Tyler Lockett can get open, because that seems to be how it goes when the big plays we saw in the last game. I mean, Tyler had, what, 4 catches, 4 targets, over 100 yards. But a couple of those were, you know, where it did look like, hey, I'm going to scramble around, do what you can to get open. I'm going to throw you the ball.
Yeah. Well, and I like what really resonated with me was the layup, you know. And we talked about this last year. Why did it seem like everything was so hard for us?
Yeah.
And, look, I think he makes it hard on himself sometimes. There were certainly checkdowns open in the Tennessee game. And that's exactly what Pete was talking about after the game. But, you know, that's something, I don't know, when you get into these kinds of games where the offense isn't clicking and they don't get into a rhythm offensively, it's just like a running back. You know, we're talking about this earlier, that Turbin was saying, yeah, 10 to 15 carries, you can get into a rhythm. 3 in a row, you can get into a rhythm. You know, just a sustained, I mean, I don't want to say that it was so easy and that, you know, you can just do it, replicate it. But my favorite drive was right before the half against the Tennessee Titans. They went, and I think 5 different players touched the ball, and it was just a dink here, a dunk there. Then it was a long run to Alex Collins, and then, you know, a throw to DK Metcalf, and they were all kind of layups, like Matt said. And I don't understand what's, and I know it's not that easy, and I know that defenses are going to adjust, and, you know, it's not like you can do that every single time, but I haven't seen anything that even comes close to looking like that.
So yeah, it's. I was going to look up that drive. You said it's the final one before the half.
Yeah, right before the half.
Okay, so first and 10, Russell Wilson short right to Homer, ran 11 yards, followed by
Russell Wilson, a three-yard throw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're saying short right to Tyler Lockett,
right.
8 yards, followed by Russell Wilson, short left, Freddie Swain, 12 yards. So their short pass is going for good chunks of yardage. Wilson pass, short left to DK Metcalf, 8 yards, followed by Alex Collins up the middle for 25 yards.
And they spread him out.
Wilson pass incomplete, short left. All these are being termed short passes to DK Metcalf. Wilson pass incomplete, short right to Tyler Lockett. Defensive pass interference, blah, blah, blah. All right, so Chris Carson, then their first and goal at the 1, Chris Carson in for the touchdown. But you're right, all those were labeled short right, short left. And
it was Homer, Swain, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
And Alex Collins. So, yeah, I guess 5 different guys touched the ball. So
yeah, first one. Yeah,
6, including Carson.
Yeah, Homer, Lockett, Swain, Metcalf, Collins run, incomplete to Metcalf, and then the penalty, and then, yeah, Chris Carson run.
Yeah, 6
good
guys.
Memory. Boy, I don't remember that drive.
Wow, it was just so beautiful. And I was like afterwards going, man, look at this. This is how it's supposed to be. And this is game 2. So I'm thinking, okay, after the game, I was thinking that. Why didn't they?
And they were up at that point after that 24-9. You're feeling good about things.
Going into half?
Yeah.
Wow.
24-9. That's lost the game 33-30.
That's where it all went downhill.
That second half of that game, because Tennessee came right out in the second. They opened the second half. 80-yard drive, 8 plays, 4 minutes, 23 seconds, touchdown. Seahawks, punt. Then missed field goal from Tennessee, touchdown Seahawks, touchdown Titans, punt, downs, punt, and then they go touchdown end of half, it's tied at 30, and then obviously it went to overtime, and that's how it went. But, yeah, you go into the half up 24-9 on a drive like you just talked about, you're feeling really good. You played well in that Colts game. Hey, look what we're doing here. We're up 24-9, and we just put together this awesome half or this awesome drive to end the half, and then they open the half with the defense giving up 8 plays, 80 yards, 4.5 minutes touchdown, and it just started crumbling.
Yeah, I remember leaving the booth and going to get a hot dog for halftime and thinking, we're on our way, boys. Here we go.
Man, unbelievable. All right, coming up, looking at this Washington team, which side of the ball has the bigger task? We've talked about this in previous weeks. Who's got the bigger challenge? Is it the Seahawks defense or the Seahawks offense? We'll get into that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up in the next segment, we are scheduled to speak with Chris Flexen of your Seattle Mariners. So looking forward to that conversation here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Which side of this... Which side of the ball is more concerning to you in this particular game, Dave? We've done this the past few weeks. Depending on the opponent, could be a different answer. But looking at going on the road against a Washington team who, record-wise, is only one game better than the Seahawks, but they've won 2 games in a row. They beat Tampa Bay, and then they beat the Panthers on the road. So they've got strung together a couple of nice wins. People are feeling good about Heinicke without a couple of their biggest defensive threats in Chase Young and Montez Sweat. So, in your opinion, going into this one, who's got a tougher task, the offense or the defense?
Yeah, typically I always stick with defense because I don't like the way they're playing. I think they're passive, but I'm going to say offense this time because it seems like they are. Well, we've said this a million times. They're not in any kind of flow. And you and I just went through. I think that was my favorite. Drive with Tennessee. You just haven't seen anything like that. Here's the other thing I worry about. So for guys like Damian Lewis that we just talked about, they've got war daddies, Bob. That's our guy, Mark Schlereth.
Are they different than football playing Jesse's?
Yes, these are war daddies. They're okay. Very specific. So Jonathan Allen, who's a first rounder, I think it was 2018 out of Alabama. I just watched on a little video clip him do a set of 5 squats, and he had 585 pounds on the bar. And, you know, it was like...
I think my knees would explode.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd go down, and I'd never get back up.
Yeah.
I'd be pinned to the floor.
I mean, and he made it look pretty easy. Ugh. And, you know, you just saw, like, you see the bar bending and the whole thing. So, I mean, that guy is just ridiculously strong. And those two guys are lined up inside. And I say two guys because the other guy's Daron Payne, who I don't know if it's Daron, D-A-R-O-N, but he is a defensive tackle from Alabama also. Those two guys together, 8.5 sacks. You know, so Jonathan Allen has 6. So you don't usually get sacks from those guys, and he's got 8 tackles for loss. You know, those guys are going to be hard to move, really hard to move. So I mentioned this last year. I get that you don't have the 2 defensive ends. That definitely is going to hurt you. But those two guys on the inside, you want to run inside. And those guys want to run the ball. It's going to be about moving those guys. And I think that's going to be a tough task for Damian Lewis and Ethan Posick. And I like Ethan, and I like the way he's playing. I just don't know if he's one of those big, strong guys. Yeah. I think he's
doesn't it feels like
talented.
He's more of a finesse guy.
Yeah, I guess it's finesse. I mean, he probably benches 400 pounds. But, you know, he's not like a big, thick guy. You know, you look at some of the – remember Mark Glowinski? And I know Glowinski didn't look, you know, that stout and everything, but he was incredibly strong player. So, yeah, he just I guess I have a hard time calling a center finesse, but you're probably right. Yeah,
well, comparatively speaking, he's not that bull rut, just put somebody on the backside type of guy. He's more technique-based.
There you go, yeah. Yeah, and he's not like Damian Lewis, you know, that's just this big, you know, road grader. So,
eating 10 plates of food and then throwing a slab of meat on the grill, you know, not that kind of guy.
That's right. So, yeah, I think they're going to have a tough time. So, to me, it's about our offense, which is already having a hard time getting going. And I thought that was – it's
funny, not in a great way, that you have Tyler Lockett saying one thing, Russell saying another, and Pete saying, you know, maybe Russell's not, or Tyler Lockett.
What do you say? You're assuming he's correct, assuming or he's accurate, right. Or whatever.
Yeah, right, accurate, yeah. So, yeah, that kind of explains what's going on offensively. What about you?
I think it is the offense, and it's not even so much about what they do defensively, the Washington football team. Although they certainly, as we talked about, they don't excel in any category other than the run on either side of the ball, if we're just looking at the numbers. So it is about just how discombobulated this offense has looked. It is really odd to see them out there looking like everybody's on a different pay, like they're running a different offense almost. Like, you know, Tyler's playing one offense, Russell's playing another one, the line's playing a different, like everybody's got a different page of the playbook. And it's odd. And, you know, we just played that cut from Matt Hasselbeck, called it a hope and a prayer offense, like playground ball is how he made it sound. Like, hey, quarterback, scramble around and look for the open receiver, and Tyler, hopefully you can get separation. I mean, but that's kind of, I know that's, you know, hyperbole and being simplistic, but that's the way it looks. And that, to me, the defense, their flaws have been consistent. Jumping the short stuff, not taking on blocks, things like that. That's kind of what they've all been doing. So I guess they're consistent in what they've been doing wrong. It doesn't make me feel that much better, but the offense just looks completely out of sorts. So just by virtue of their ineptness, the challenge is bigger for them. And it's not even so much that it's because Washington's so good defensively. It's just about the Seahawks have been so bad offensively and just in finding any sort of rhythm. So and I'll say this, the defense, they desperately need to help themselves because the offense can't do it right now. That's been proven. So if we're going to sit here and lament the difference in possession time, it's on the defense to figure out how to not, you know, open a game with a 9.5 minute drive, you know, and then another drive that's 6.5 minutes and another drive that's, you know, almost 6 minutes. I mean, they gave up a lot of long drives. Some of them resulted in missed field goals, but that's still a lot of time to be out there on the field, especially when you're getting zero help from the offense. Mm-hmm. So they've got to help themselves in that area in terms of time spent on the field, and hopefully the offense can find some sort of rhythm. But right now, if you're looking at which side of the ball is going to carry this team, as much as I did not like the way the defense played in the last game, I still say it's the defense going to have to carry them.
Mm. Yeah, and you're looking at a team that's 21st as far as points scored on offense, and they're 22nd in pass offense. So they're, you know, bottom third. But the other thing, too, is that, like I said it before, and we both are like, you got to be kidding me. They have Taylor Heinicke, or is it Tyler?
Taylor.
This is
Taylor.
Screw me up, I'm telling you. Taylor Heinicke, and we have Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And we're expecting that Washington will win this game. It's hard to believe that, and so, yeah, that the fact that you have a guy who's not necessarily, well, yeah, he's a career backup, basically. Yeah. So
I mean, this is the most he's played in any season, right? 10 games?
Yeah.
If I look at his stats, if I recall correct, yeah. He played one game in 17, six in 18, one last year, and 10 this year.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember Clayton making the joke about him being a beer because he was calling him Heineken. It's like, wow, that got old fast.
That's hilarious.
And then they have Terry McLaurin, who's a really talented receiver. He's got 735 yards, 13-yard average, 5 touchdowns. You know, they have some. Antonio Gibson's a good running back, but there's nobody there that just, like, you fear. So, and it's just, and the only reason I'm bringing that up is just because they got J.D. McKissick, who love and miss that guy. But it's just bizarre that you're expecting that the Seahawks are going to have a really tough time. They just haven't shown you anything to think they can pick up a game like this.
Yeah, I mean, what would, you know, there's being a fan, of course I want them to win, and they absolutely can win. They absolutely have the ability to win. It's just they haven't shown that they're going to put it together. I mean, they looked as discombobulated last week as they have all season on both sides of the ball. Like I said, defensively they can talk about, well, they held them to this many points. Well, the field goal kicker single-handedly cost that team 7 points. It was already a double-digit loss.
Right.
It should have been by 7 more. He missed 2 field goals under 40 yards and an extra point. You gave the very opening drive of the game. There was no fatigue there. It's your first time on the field, and the defense gave up a 9.5-minute drive. That ate up the whole quarter. So they didn't play well. The offense, it's well-documented, didn't play well. They just haven't given an objective fan a reason to believe they're going to find it. It's sort of like, I'll believe it when I see it now. You know, you hate to be that pessimistic, but
you know, what would be the reason other than being a fan to say, I think they're going to win?
Yeah. Yeah, you just have to be a longtime Seahawk fan. Yeah. And you're going, okay, when's the turnaround? Like, it could happen last year.
Yeah, hopefully it starts here. It has to. I mean, it's, you know, the people are playing for jobs now. All right, coming up, how did Chris Flexen get back to the majors and then have that year, that career year? The Mariners pitcher going to join us next. Talk about all of it with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Well, we're all wondering what the Mariners are going to do in the offseason, how they're going to make this team even better than they were last year. But one of the things you feel really good about coming out of last season, and there are a lot of things, Dave, that you feel good about, but this guy, the guy,
especially this guy,
we probably knew the least about him in Paul Sewald. And they turned into two of the best additions to this team. And I said it all last season during the year that Chris Flexen was far and away the most consistent pitcher in that entire rotation from beginning to end. We knew the least about him to begin the year. And by the end of the year, we were thanking God for him. And he's with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Chris, how are you, man?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Have you had a chance to kind of reflect on the season now? You're obviously a few weeks removed, to say the least, and now you can kind of take some pride and some joy in how things went for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, after a long season like that, fun season as well. But yeah, you're able to kind of step back for a minute and really be able to reflect on how the season really was.
Hey, Chris, explain kind of how it clicked for you. And, you know, we were watching it in spring training and, you know, there was kind of some ups and downs and things like that. But for you, like Bob said, you're so unbelievably consistent. And tell us what was different, and could you actually feel it when you get into like a groove and a flow that you're just pitching really well?
Yeah, you can definitely feel when you're in the flow moments. You know, I had a handful of stretches that I thought I was in those, but on an overall basis, I think the biggest thing for me was, you know, true trust and true confidence and, you know, the work that we did amongst each other with teammates and stuff, and as well as our pitching coaches, you know, the defense behind us, our catchers. I mean, everything goes into that. And, you know, that's all something that as a collective group, like, you know, that was one of the biggest things that helped me be consistent as well. But, you know, still came down to, you know, changing that confident mindset.
Hey, tell me about your individual confidence as it went through the season. I mean, from the beginning of the season, you come over from the Korean Baseball League again, you know, to most fans, unknown. We don't know what to expect. Is he, you know, is he going to be great? Is he going to be just a spot holder eating up innings, what have you? So there wasn't the expectation, I guess, from a fan base from that perspective. But I'm just wondering how different your mindset was at the beginning versus the end of the season, where it looked like you just went out there and expected, I'm going to win and I'm going to dominate. Because that's, as fans, I can tell you, every time we saw, all right, what's the matchup today? Oh, Flexen? All right, I like our chances. It was just an expectation that you were going to go out there and at the very least, even if you didn't have your A stuff, keep the team in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like I said, that time it came down to the confidence thing. And, you know, every day from the beginning to the end was trying to get better and how can I adjust? How can I be better? And, you know, continuing to put in the work day in and day out and trying to make every start. And, you know, it really came down to really competing for the team. And that was my biggest mindset every time.
On the stretch, it was really exciting. And just tell us what it was like from the inside, because for Mariner fans, you know, what did you, was it 14? You had 13 out of 14 or 12 out of 14 down the stretch. I mean, you guys were just as hot as can be, that streak you had. What was that like inside the clubhouse?
It was awesome. You know, I felt like we had, you know, pretty strong support throughout the whole year. You know, but definitely down that stretch was a lot different, you know, to be able to have, you know, 40,000 plus fans in that stadium and the noise level that it brought for us. I mean, it was really exciting. And, you know, we were hungry to compete for that spot down the stretch. You know, I know we fell a little short and left a bad taste in our mouth, but, you know, we loved that support and it made it a lot of fun to play behind those fans as well.
Well, I can tell you, you re-energized a fan base out here that's, you know, for good reason, been cynical and sort of, you know, oh, yeah, Mariners, I'm not counting on it. I mean, it's been two decades since the postseason, so people just kind of go into the season with the expectation of being disappointed, and that was so much fun for the fans to be excited to go home. Oh, Mariners are playing tonight. Couldn't wait to be in front of the TV, and there was you just gave people a reason to be optimistic and excited. I'm curious, just from your physical perspective, you know, we all talked about your weight loss and all of that, but just innings pitched, you threw 179 and two-thirds last year, which was obviously by far and away more than you'd ever thrown at this level. I'm not sure what you did in the Korean Baseball League, but just physically, how did you feel after throwing that many innings, more than you ever had in your big league career?
Yeah, I think Korea, I had a two-month break in the middle of the season. I think I got up to about 145. So for me to get to 179 was a huge milestone, you know, to be able to make all my starts. And physically down the stretch, you know, longevity-wise, I was, of course, exhausted. But, you know, down the stretch playing behind those fans with that much energy, you know, you really are able to dig deep and, you know, still continue to step on the gas. And, you know, I feel like I still had some stuff left in the tank and was really ready for that little playoff push that we were going to hope to make. And, you know, overall, I still felt pretty strong.
Hey, going into a season as a pitcher, Chris, do you are there times where do you have pitches, certain pitches that develop and progress and get better or worse and that you kind of ditch or do you pretty much keep the same thing? Does that change? How much does that change as you go through a season, each individual pitch?
You're always trying to be as consistent as you can be. One of the biggest changes I made into this year was kind of changing my slider into a cutter. And, you know, our pitching coaches kind of helped me, you know, figure out a good usage for my secondary pitches as well. And, you know, and then you're just trying to be as consistent as you can with that. So, you know, for me going into this season, you know, I'll continue to keep the same arsenal, figure out how to be able to command those pitches better and continue to make them, you know, as consistent as I can have them.
So did you watch the playoffs in the World Series? Or are you somebody that, hey, I can't watch it. We should be there. I'm not going to watch it. Or did you sit back and go, okay, this is what it's going to look like when we're in there next year?
Yeah, I watched every game, but I threw them on at times, and you know, it's still a fan of baseball, and it definitely is a bittersweet to be able to watch the playoffs with the intentions that we, you know, we had hoped that we were in that mix, but you know, still was able to watch it as a fan, and you know, watch the other guys compete.
Chris, where do you make your off-season home? Are you moving here to Seattle? What you been doing with your off-season so far?
I'm actually in Port St. Lucie, Florida. I got some family out here that has moved out from California, and for me, just kind of, you know, the first few weeks was kind of relaxed, be able to reflect a little bit, get back into you know, off-season life a little bit. And I think I took about 2 weeks off from the season and got right back in the gym and started training to get my body ready for this coming year. And you know, we got Thanksgiving coming up, so just trying to, you know, slow things down, enjoy some time with family, because come December 1st is when, you know, things start kicking into gear a little more for me, and you know, and then it's right around the corner for spring training, and you know, then we're ready to go.
Is there any specific pitch or specific mechanical thing you're looking to work on in the off season? You go back, watch tape, and say, oh man, I really want to work on my slider. I want to develop this pitch. Is there sort of a box you need to check in the off season going into next year?
I think just coming in strong, healthy, ready to go is one of the biggest things. I don't think there's any specific pitch that, you know, I need to reinvent or anything. And like I said before, it comes down to consistency. And for me, it comes down to location. So that's, you know, just getting arm and strong and in shape, ready to go, and be able to fine tune that come spring training and, you know, make your adjustments from there as we go.
All right. Before we let you go, Thanksgiving, what dish outside of turkey, what do you look forward to most?
Oh, I'm pretty boring with that. I'm actually just a big turkey, mashed potatoes, and probably some roasted broccoli for me. That's all I really stick to.
Okay.
No gravy for you, Chris.
Not a big fan of gravy, actually.
Wow. Now,
yeah,
now
I'm boring and basic.
Now, are you a portion control guy, or are you going to go multiple serving? Are you going to go back to the well a couple of times, or how does that work for you?
This will probably be my splurge meal. So, yeah, I'll definitely have to go back to the well. But, you know, I've, in the past, being a little overweight, you know, that was one of my biggest struggles was that portion control. So I'll definitely try to monitor that. But, you know, it's Thanksgiving. You're with family. It's time to celebrate a little bit. So I'll definitely be going back for seconds.
There you go.
Well, Chris, it's good to talk to you again. We obviously enjoyed talking to you during the season and more so watching you pitch. What a tremendous year. So congrats on the year that you had. Enjoy the offseason. Happy Thanksgiving to you and happy holidays. And can't wait to see you next season.
Awesome. I appreciate you guys having me on. Thanks again so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Chris.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well.
Same to you.
There you go. All Chris right. Flexen, the most consistent pitcher in that rotation, yeah. Without question. Man, he was what a fantastic pickup he was, and good to talk to him. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk a little more football with the professor, John Clayton, who joins us next here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.